In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I have a dilemma. I want to stand here and do this, but I'm not. There's a number of you that I can't see that way, so I can go up high, but I feel like I want to be here this week for this. So if this doesn't work, let me know. If you get a neck pain because of this, this place, let me know after the service, and we'll compromise. First, I just need a second thank you to everyone who sent me a nice note or a nice card or a nice text. I really appreciated it. I didn't respond to all of them. I read them all. They meant the world to me to know. It meant the world to me to know that you guys were praying for me, thinking of me while I was gone. It helped a ton. So thank you. And thank you for your patience. You know, as I said to you, my relationship with my father was complicated, and we needed some time as a family to just heal and deal with some things, and it was really good. It was really good. So that was was time well spent. It was tiring, it was exhausting, but it was good. And if this is your first week here and you don't know anything of what I'm talking about, I'm welcome. I'm glad you're here. I was just gone 2 weeks because my father passed away back in New York. And I don't want to use this space or this time to make it like a what I did while I was away type of thing. But I just want to share one story with you because I think it really ties in with today's gospel and the message of it. So, I performed, celebrated is the word we use, my father's funeral. That was his request that his son, the priest, preside at his funeral. And it was difficult because, I mean, when you lose parents, you deal with stuff, right? You either deal with good stuff or bad stuff or a mix of those things, but you deal with stuff. And I was dealing with stuff, like all my siblings were. And I wasn't sure how it was going to go, and I remember praying and asking God if he could just get me through the service and help me kind of show that he was there with me during that service. And the service went on as a funeral does, and everything went fine, and nothing really of note happened. There was no breakdowns, there were no moments of being overwhelmed. It was a normal service. And at the very end, at the closing hymn, is the casket. My dad was buried in a casket. Was being wheeled out of the church. I got to pick the closing hymn. And the closing hymn I picked, we all knew in our family really well, was an Italian hymn. Because, of course, I'm Sicilian in our family. My grandmother had 8 siblings. My grandfather had several siblings. Just big, large Italian networks of cousins. You know what I'm talking about. So we all had these kind of several Italian hymns just in our family history that were there. And you didn't think about it as anything special. You just thought it was normal. Everybody had Italian hymns in their family, right? Growing up, you realize as you leave, it's different. It was kind of a special. Some of them were special to our family. So I picked the closing one that we all knew. My dad loved it, my brothers loved it. I knew it and loved it. And it was called the Viva la Croce. It's just a song about the cross. And it's the cross, the key to life for sinners and saints alike. That's what it translates to. So that's being sung, and we're wheeling the coffin out of the church. My brothers are there. My sister was having a moment, so she was sitting. I was there as the priest, leaving behind. And we had several cousins with us. And as we get out of the church and outside and in the driveway, down the steps, the hearse is there ready to take the coffin to the cemetery. And as the coffin's being loaded up, we just had this moment. Now I've been through 99% of the service, and I had asked if God would just give me a way to show me he was there with me. And 99% of the service went by, and it just was normal. It didn't feel special in any way. Like that, nothing out of the ordinary. And so what happened was that this last 1%, this last moment, as the casket's being headed to the hearse, something just happened, and I don't, we couldn't have planned it, and believe me, I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, like, my siblings and I could not have planned this because we would have fought over, you know, how it happened. We couldn't have planned it. But this hymn that we all know, we just were singing, and the congregation that was there had stopped at the steps, and we were about 8 of us, brothers and cousins, outside. We followed the casket. I'm the priest, of course, and and still singing this hymn with no music, with no sheets, nothing but memory and heart. And it was just a moment. And if you've had these moments in your life where, you know, something just, kind of things just stop and people notice. And even the funeral director didn't want to load the casket in until it was done because he just sensed there was such a moment here that despite all the stuff we were dealing with, we could come to a place where we honestly could pray that we could, that we let go and we hope that our Father was in the hands of our Lord, mercy. And it was just a moment, and it started snowing lightly. Now, this was in Buffalo, so you can take that as a sign from God or just a normal day. I tend to see it at that particular moment, that it was just the perfect moment as we're singing, and I just started crying and singing and noticing this just beautiful sound. Like I said, we couldn't have planned it that way. I mean, we're not trained singers. It was just from heart and memory. And the snow's falling, and then it stopped. And it was quiet for a minute. And the funeral director loaded the casket in hers and shut the door. We kind of looked around with tears in our eyes and went to the cemetery. Life went on. I share that story with you, one, because it was a powerful moment for me. It was that moment that I just felt God was there. He said, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I really feel that's a connection to today's gospel. Now, obviously, Jesus' moment with the disciples was much more important and more grand. But here are these disciples, and they struggle with who Jesus is and trying to understand, wrap their heads around why he does the things he does. One minute, he's the Christ, and the next minute, he's talking about his death, and he's healing the poor people and the sick people, and he doesn't want power. He doesn't care about the Romans like they care about the Romans, and they can't figure out, what is this guy doing? But yet, we have this moment in our gospel where just a few close friends of Jesus, three of them, Peter, James, and John, see it, and there's no confusion. They see him dazzling and white and beautiful and divine and supernatural and all those things, and they see, this is it, no confusion. He's God and he's with us. It makes perfect sense now. And Peter says, can I build some houses? Moses and Elijah even come. I mean, these are like the heroes. I mean, imagine if something happened, we saw Jesus and Peter and Paul and the apostles and the people we learn about. These are like the heroes of their faith. And they're there and they're gathered. And Peter says, can I build a home? Can I build some tents? Can we stay here? And sometimes people look at Peter, and if you've heard this story before, Peter kind of gets a bad rap. Oh, he doesn't understand what's going on. But why wouldn't you want to live in that spot, in that moment, where everything just is so perfect and so clear? I get where Peter's coming from. I think if you've had one of those moments where you felt God touch your life, you'd want to stay there. The beautiful moments. Peter wants to stay there. And as soon as he's done saying that, it's over. And Jesus says, don't say anything about this. No one's going to understand until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And then they go on their way. Back to life. Back to normal. Back to confusion. The thing about this event that we often don't think about is when it happens. And it happens about 8 days before Jesus dies. And if you think about how confusing that must be for the disciples, that one day to see Jesus like this, it all makes sense now. In the next week to see him bloodied and battered and bruised and powerless and weak and dying, must have been very, very difficult for them. But they had this moment to hang on to get them through the hard moments. They had this moment to remember. And Peter did. Our second reading today mentions that. Our second reading was chronologically about 30 years after the event. Peter is towards the end of his life, and he's writing to his followers as he knows his time's coming to an end. And what makes it interesting is politically the world's a mess. Nero's coming to power, and he's kind of a crazy, unstable leader who's starting to, like, you know, just go mad and kill people for no reason. And Peter says, this is the moment I'm taking out. Remember, we didn't make this up. We didn't make this up. I was there. I saw this moment. This isn't a myth. I'm going to give my life for this because it's true. I saw it with my own eyes. And he has that moment with him, even all those decades later, to give him strength. And I would say that if you've had those moments, I saw some of you nodding your heads, if you've had those moments, they're there for you to cherish and carry you through the hard times, because there are hard times in life. Man, our opening prayer said it perfect today. I mean, just said it perfect. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory on the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, his face, may be strengthened to bear our cross. I mean, that's it. God gives us these moments to get us through the hard stuff, because life has hard stuff. So if you've had them, I would say cherish them, hang on to them, tell, you know, people that you trust about them. I know sometimes we don't like talking about them because we feel like we're weird, or maybe it wasn't what we thought it was, or maybe somebody will look at us funny. But they're things to cherish, those moments where God touches our life. And if you haven't had them, I would say ask. I mean, I wasn't expecting, I don't know what I was expecting. I just needed to know God was there. And he was. He showed up. And he does. And I think there's so often we have a desire to want to see God do something, you know, in Washington or in Congress or in Cheyenne or whatever, right? Something politically or something, you know, with policy or something at a high level of power. And I think God is trying to say over and over again, I came to be with you. Right, Emmanuel, God with us. I want to give you those moments in your life. I care as much about the struggle that you're going through today as I would about some national event. And I want to be there for you. And sometimes we're looking for him on this big scale, like the apostles were always looking for him to go to Rome and do something with Caesar and do something with them. And Jesus is constantly showing himself in their lives. And for us, it's the same. I think if we're just obsessively looking for God on a big scale, we miss the fact that where he really wants to be is with us. In the struggles, in the hard times, in the joyous times, showing himself in our life, steadily present throughout our struggles, our trials, our triumphs. So if you are going through one of those struggles, remember those moments. And if you haven't had one, ask. Ask, pray. Because God is so willing to give. He's so willing to give you those moments where he shows himself in your life. He's so willing to break into our everyday life and our sadness and our joys and be there with us. And if we look for him there, right, we won't make the same mistakes the disciples make. We kept looking for him to do something in the capital, in the empire, where he was just constantly trying to do something in their lives and in their hearts. And I hope I rediscovered that at my father's funeral. I was reminded of that. I hope you have those moments where you can be reminded of that too. And I know it's easy to get discouraged with the bigger pictures, with the bigger picture events, but remember that title, God with us, Emmanuel, that Jesus came to be for us and how he shows himself for that. And if you need a reminder, pray and ask. There's nothing he wants to do more than be God with you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.